Hello, everybody. This is Principal Mr. Barr, and this is the first podcast of Husky Pride Edition from Makiachuk, Alaska. If you're new to the area or new to the podcast, which everybody will be due to the fact that it's the first podcast that we're doing, Makiachuk is located in Alaska, and it's a tundra, small village. About 1,000 people live here. Our school serves from anywhere near to 200 to 206 students, depending on the day of who's enrolling and who's leaving. From K through 12, we got 14 awesome staff members and a whole bunch of support staff members that are all here for the kids. This podcast is kind of happen every week, and we'll have some guests in here. We're going to tell some stories, talk about school, talk about how we can improve grades, and kind of keep you updated with what's going on at the Makiachuk School, which there is a lot going on, believe it or not. So come on up, volunteer your time. If you're out down on the lower 48s or somewhere else in Alaska, come on and check our website out. We do have a Facebook page. We do not accept friends, but you can more than welcome follow us. All you do is sign into your Facebook account and search for Makiachuk Huskies. You'll see the blue logo paw. You click on that and you follow. And then you'll have what we would call our first Facebook site, which is kind of neat. We just posted the March menu on there, so yummy, yummy to your tummy. We will be posting pictures. We'll be posting events and news just to keep everybody informed, and the podcast is a part of this. The podcast is all about getting the parents and the community and the outside world informed of the great things that are going on at our school. So again, we're just going to focus on some stories and some ways to improve your students' academics and just kind of all-around chit-chat with everybody that's involved, hopefully. Hopefully this podcast grows and grows and grows, where we find that we do have some consistent weekly listeners. Again, this is a great way to communicate, a great tool to reach everybody quickly, so I sure do appreciate everybody listening to our first episode. It'll probably be a little rough due to the fact that I'm sitting in my house trying out the new equipment. I had the moving in stereo, the cars in the background. Many of you probably don't know the famous scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which was an awesome 80s movie, but that certainly made me want to rethink what I'm telling you right now. But again, this is a test run, so it's no big deal. Got a little stuffed up nose. It's a little cold out there, but it's getting warmer. Again, Makiachuk is in the lower Kuskokwim region. If I can mess that up anymore, it's in the lower Kuskokwim region. Our river's frozen over right now. People are driving on it, believe it or not. But soon that will be melting away and giving away to the breakup and the mud and everything. So it's going to be wild, if you will. So let's go ahead and start off with a good story here. This is when I started teaching about 13 years ago. My God, has it been that long already? But I was student teaching. I was a young man. I was 21 years old, and I was student teaching high school students in history. And bless this young girl's heart, she just wanted to participate in class. She was a child that had some needs, some academic needs, and we worked with her real hard to make her feel comfortable. And she came up to me after school one day and said, "Mr. Barr, I'd really like to participate in class." And I hardly ever get any answers right, or by the time I think of the right answer has been said, and the teachers move on. So I told the young lady, "All right, we're going to get you involved tomorrow, no problem. What you do is whenever I call on you, you say France. No matter what I call on you for, you will say France." Well, she got a big old smile on her face, give me the thumbs up. Now, this girl is 2 foot nothing. She came up to about my kneecaps or ankles. She had curly hair. And she gave me the biggest smile and thumbs up. She says, "Tomorrow I'm going to say France no matter what." So next day come around, and we're going over World War II, and I have the map projected on the old projector. Nowadays teachers use smart boards and movies and everything, but had the projector of the Europe map, and we're going over the countries who were involved, and lo and behold, I point to France, and I call on that young lady. Her arm shot up so quick, her arm shot up, just right in the air. So I call her name, and here was her moment of glory. It was her time to shine in front of everybody. And I'll remind you, I told her to say France no matter what. she answers Guam. Now, where in the world she got Guam at, I have no clue. France is nowhere near Guam. If you know where Guam is at, it's nowhere near France. So that was the first time I ever had the opportunity of turning my back towards the board so the kids would never see me laugh at them. And I will never forget this to the day. She still thinks France is probably Guam. I never told her she was wrong because she was just too proud and I couldn't crush her little heart. But by golly, that was my introduction to saying no matter what you do, what you say, how many times you say it, no matter how many times you do it, there's going to be someone there that doesn't listen. I wonder where she's at right now. I guarantee it she's not studying World War II, and I darn well know she is not into cartography, the map-making business. I would be surprised if she even worked for Google Maps for Jiminy Criminy. But that was my introduction into teaching, and I went on to teach for 4 years in West Virginia, in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and then a year out in Nebraska. And then I taught a couple years, well, not a couple, quite a few years in Nebraska at the early college setting, and then I became an assistant principal and now a principal up here. So I've been kind of all over the place and did a lot of things, seen a lot of things, met a lot of good kids, met a lot of good parents. And it's kind of neat being up here. It's different than Alaska. I mean, everybody knows that and says that. Well, you're crazy going to Alaska. It's cold up there. Yes, it is cold. And yes, it can be a little crazy. But we got good kids and we got good staff and we got people that care. And that's all that matters. So it's kind of just real interesting trying this podcast out for the first time as a test run just to see how it's going. So I've been talking for about 7 minutes straight about myself and my introduction. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a minute-long song and then move on into how we can step up and help our kids read a little bit better. 98% of our kids are English language learners or ELL learners, and the best thing we can do for them is help them read. Once they start reading, they really, really thrive in school, but right now, you know, they're not as reading as good as they should or comprehending good as they should. So after this quick little break, we are going to come back and talk about some reading strategies. Go. That is the sweet sounds. Oh, excuse me, forgot the mic there. That's the sweet sounds of Arrested Development, I believe. Mr. Wendell. Boy, that's an old one. Tell you what, talking a little bit about reading strategies and helping your kids read, and this will be a quick thing because I want to get into something that I've read. But, you know, the best thing you could do for your kids to help them read is let them record themselves and let them hear themselves read. And help them correct themselves when they're listening to themselves read and have them reread it. When you record them, I mean, you can record them on your iPhone. Almost every one of you have that nowadays, or a recording device. They actually get to hear the sounds. Auditory is the biggest skill a kindergarten through second grade kid could learn. If they can't hear it, they can't hear the sounds, then they'll never ever be able to properly blend them together to make words or sentences or even to write or spell correctly. So listening to them and hearing to what they're reading is a very powerful tool. This takes a quick 3 minutes. They say that 3 minutes of recording reading and playing it back will help your kid tremendously read better. Also, another thing you could do is read to your kid when they go to bed. When a parent reads with a kid, the kid is more likely to accept reading in their life and they'll know the importance of reading. So those are two quick strategies that you could use to help your kids reading. One is to let them record themselves reading and play it back and correct them when they're wrong. And two, read to them and spend a little time with them. Pick out a book that they like. A kid that has reading in their life and a parent that reads to them, they have a wonderful imagination. Their writing skills are improved. Their vocabulary is improved. Also, another last strategy is to ask them what they read. I mean, ask them to say, why did that happen in the story? What happens next? Or predict the end. We haven't got to the end yet. What do you think is going to happen? And tell me why you think it's going to happen. That develops critical thinking skills, which are pretty powerful for a kid to learn and to practice, because critical thinking skills just doesn't happen. You got to practice it. So those are three neat little tricks to help your kids out reading. And I think that you'll find that you'll improve your reading by helping your kids out. But I was reading something the other day about Attila the Hun. If you don't know who Attila the Hun is, he's a very famous and fearless leader. He grew an empire almost as quick as Genghis Khan did. He united Mongolia. Mongolia was full of nomadic tribes or people that traveled around. And Attila the Hun really had some good leadership. And I wanted to hit a couple of those because these will help you out no matter what, in your family, with your students, in a basketball team, in life in general. But the very first thing that Attila Hun says about leadership is you've got to be the one that wants to be in charge. You've got to want that. No leader ever wants someone else to be in charge, but a leader's got to, you know, want to be in charge and desire to lead. And you got to have a desire to achieve, not just lead, but to actually achieve something. You know, many great men were leaders, but never seen their plans go forward for one reason or another. They had the big vision, but according to Genghis Khan, you've got to want to be in charge to lead. And not everybody is a leader. Sometimes you got to follow and sometimes you got to lead, but you know, you got to know how to sustain your hard work. You got to know how to put people in place to sustain that. It just can't be you, even though you're the one that's wanting to be in charge or to lead, but you got to make sure that your rules, that your procedures, your processes, everything that you have when you lead are really to inspire people, not just to put them in a box and confine them, but you want them to verbalize and talk with you and give you suggestions. Just because they don't see eye to eye with you doesn't mean that you're still not in charge, nor do you have that drive, but that's one important way of becoming a great leader. Another thing that he talked about was having discipline. As a leader, you got to be more disciplined than anybody else. When things go wrong, and things are going to go wrong, you've got to be the one that maintains that discipline because everybody's watching how you act. Just like in the basketball court, if your point guard is getting fouled all over the place but starts talking to the refs and start running around crazy, well, you're not going to run the plays. You're not going to run the plays correctly, and others are going to run around crazy. So really, leadership is maintaining that discipline and making sure that you are always, always, always professional, positive, and being honest with people. Another good thing that Attila the Hun said, about said Genghis Khan, but another great leadership skill is make sure as a leader you anticipate who the people are that are going to pledge loyalty or support to you, but then they're going to turn their back on you. So you got to make sure that you know who those people are and watch out for them. And then what you got to do is make you got to identify and remove those characteristics of those people. They may be your best worker. They may be the best person there, but you've got to make sure that you're approachable to them, that you listen to both the bad and the good news from them. But you also got to make sure that you watch them and just kind of hold them close to you. You know, they always said, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. And that's certainly true, because a good leader, there's always people out there to knock them out and knock them down. But with those three things, those are very, very important. And he goes on and on and on, and we're only going to hit the first three there. But those are three important leadership characteristics that any kid could have, or teach any kid, is willing to lead, be disciplined, And know who you're up against. That's the worst thing that you could ever do is overestimate or underestimate. You just kind of want to carefully calculate that with people. And if you can't do that, if your barometer or your gauge is wrong and you don't have good people around you to help you with that, then my God, then you might as well just pack it up, because you're not going to get anything done, because there will be more people that feed into that destroying behavior for some odd reason than they would the positive leader. So, I mean, that's always something to take into account to think, man, this guy built an empire of nomadic people that always had their own chieftain, always had their own ways, always had their own language, always had their own customs and traditions. And then up comes along a person that respects that and utilizes that as a strength and wants to be in charge and listens to people and takes their advice and takes the good and also takes the bad. Ultimately, Attila the Hun will be defeated, but still that's a pretty amazing feat what he's done. So that's a pretty cool little history lesson about leadership. Again, if you're really into leadership, I would highly suggest you read Attila the Hun. It will help you effectively manage people, and still those characteristics stay true today. So on that note, let's stop and take a break. Let me get something to drink. My throat's getting dry. I haven't talked for 16 minutes by myself in a long time. So let's listen to some tunes here, and I'll be right back. Well, we're coming down to the last moment of the first podcast. I can't believe it's gone quick, so quick, just sitting here talking and learning the buttons and messing things up, which is awesome. So leave you with one other story. You know, they always say when you're teaching, there's going to be three kids that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. No matter what you do after teaching, there's going to be three kids that impact your life. And I've already had one. And I remember this little hooligan. He was in seventh grade, and boy, I think he gave me my first true belly laugh that I've ever had in my life. But this young man on the first day of school got a Charlie horse from a student, and I couldn't believe what happened. And the kid screamed as loud as he could, like a bat coming out of a cave. And I mean, like this awful screech, and he threw this darn thick comic book Heathcliff at the kid, and the other boy just did like the Matrix, and he bent backwards. I don't know how, but that book smacked right across, right by my head on the first day of school, and I tell you what, that was an eye-opener to what little punks can do. I bet we all, as teachers, have that story. Those kids, think about where they're at now, those kids that have impacted your life. I bet you they remember you one way. Well, let me try to finish this up here and save it and get it posted. I have no clue what I'm doing, but again, this is a practice run, so thanks for listening.